The ability to multitask, to do multiple things at the same time, is considered a quality, a good character trait by a lot of people. But what you might consider as multitasking is really not multitasking, according to one PhD psychologist. He refers to it not as multitasking, but as task switching. He says, when it comes to attention and productivity, our brains have a finite amount. We're really not doing multiple things at the same time, but we can do multiple things over time. We can be doing one thing and thinking about another, and then switch what we were thinking about and what we were doing. That's the task switching that he's referring to. And that's what I want to talk to you about these next few weeks. I want us to focus on our ability to task switch between doing what one thing that God wants us to do and another thing that God wants us to do. The things that people who follow Jesus do and do well. The things I want to talk to you about have a lot of history to them. The people who have followed Jesus, believers, have been doing these things literally for centuries. They may not have called it multitasking. They may not have even referred to it as task switching. But when their hearts were weary and when their faith was weak, they did the things that we're going to talk about. And we're talking about them so that we can learn how to do them and see the blessings and the power of God the way that they did. James chapter 5 says this: the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I like the way another version had this verse laid out. It says, when a good man prays, great things happen. I wonder if you and I think that we have to be good in order for God to do great things. If we have to be perfectly righteous in order for God to do great things. It doesn't work like that, and it never really has. There's a direct connection between our prayer and the activity of God. There are times that God does listen, and there are times that God doesn't listen. Sometimes it has to do with our sinfulness as opposed to our faithfulness, and sometimes it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the faithfulness of God. But when we read in the Bible about how the people of God prayed and when they prayed, they often did more than just praying. It was praying and something else. And that's the title of this series that we're going through, Praying And. They multitask between praying and fasting. They task switched between prayer and serving. And that's the kind of thing that we want to look at. And when they did that, their faith was strengthened. Their understanding was increased. And they watched great things happen. We're doing this because we need God's help. For as long as you and I can remember, we have worshiped when we wanted to and how we wanted to. We helped people and we prayed with them. We gathered with family as family. And now you and I have been in what seems like a never-ending holding pattern for almost a year. I'm not sure when things are going to change, and when they do, what they're going to change to. I'm not sure we're going backwards to what was as much as we are going forwards into something that we may not recognize. We're using every effort that we have to stay physically healthy. But in doing so, we're sacrificing our emotional and our relational health. And our spiritual health is at risk too. We may be physically safe, but we don't like each other. We're glad that we're getting better, but we don't really like who it is that we're becoming. Everybody's nervous. Everybody's anxious. Everybody's frustrated. And we're not really sure what to do now. Do we do whatever we want and put others at risk? Do we just say, I'm tired of the mask, I'm tired of being isolated, I could care less, I'm just going to do what I want, no matter what happens to somebody else? Of course not. That's not what we want to do. But do we stand by and ignore addiction relapse, suicide and divorce rates doubling and tripling in months? Do we just ignore that? Do we want our elderly to continue to be kept from their families, even dying alone? I don't think we want that either. The answers may seem easy at first to do what I want to do, but they're not that easy, and usually add more complications when we do only what we want to do. When God's people were in really difficult situations, like the situations that we find ourselves in right now, they prayed, and that's what we're looking at. They, when their burdens were great and their hope was faint, they didn't just pray. They prayed and fasted. They prayed and served. They prayed and waited. They prayed and praised. For the next few weeks, we're going to learn and talk about praying and. And we're going to do it, as I said, so that we can learn what they did. We can see what happened when they did it, so that we can see what happens when we do it, when we pray and do other things. Each week, you and I are going to get together and we're going to talk about praying and fasting, praying and serving, praying and waiting, and praying and praising. There are lots of things that we're going to do, some things that are going to happen on the Sundays when you come in, some things that we can send to you if you can't come in. But we're going to focus on this because our resources are just about tapped out. Our wisdom is just about exhausted. We need God's help to do something different. We need to see Him move. We need to see His power. For the next few minutes, I want to give you an overview of what we're going to be talking about, what we're going to be looking at through the month of February. The first thing that we're going to be talking about next week is praying and fasting. God's people were called to pray and fast a lot. Just about every time there was a crisis in your Bible, the people of God were called to pray and fast. I know you know what prayer is, and I know you know how to do it, but do you know what fasting is? Do you know how to do that? Simply put, fasting is going without something important to get something that is more important. It's just that simple. In most cases, fasting involved going without food for a period of time, and that period of time was usually only a day. Very rarely were there extended periods of multiple days of fasting in Scripture. You have one record of Jesus fasting for 40 days, but Jesus is the high example. Most of the time, it was just for a day of prayer and fasting, and it was a day that began at sunrise and ended at sundown. For example, in Luke chapter 2, Trey talked about this just a couple of months ago, this woman named Anna. Luke chapter 2 says, there was also a prophet, Anna. She was very old and a widow. She never left the temple but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Fasting is common in so many cultures, and it's common for quite a few reasons. Some include fasting as a normal part of their weekly health, but for the believer, for the Christian, fasting is, if you get a physical benefit for fasting, that's just a side benefit. The primary benefit is to be closer to God. We're going to look at what God's people did and why, and see how God responded. And in this next month, we're going to give you an opportunity to fast. This is going to be your choice as to whether or not you want to participate. Some people can't participate in going without food for most of the day because it would negatively affect their health. But it's not just food. I know some people are going to fast from watching TV or from being online or from social media and those kinds of things, giving up something that's important to them to get something important from God. That's the point there. One author said this, it's about sacrificing something habitual for something new, something better. It's a physical change in a pattern of life to bring about a spiritual change for every bit of life. That's praying and fasting. Then on Valentine's Day, the 14th, Sunday the 14th, we're going to be talking about praying and serving. This seems so obvious that you would pray and serve, especially anybody who would call themselves a Christian, anybody who would go to church, but it's actually not that obvious. Sometimes we pray and we say that we're going to pray for someone simply because, well, to be blunt, praying is really easy. It's easy to tell someone that you're going to pray for them. It's a lot harder to walk with them, to help with them, to weep with them, to be with them in the middle of their mess. Praying is easier than praying and helping. It's easier than praying and serving, praying and crying, praying and getting involved. You may not be able to do something in every case, but you can do something every once in a while. Acts chapter 6 says this, "Choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility of caring for widows over to them and give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word." Prayer and serving. You see, it's not about praying and sitting. It's about praying and serving. The leaders of the early church knew that everyone can pray, but everyone also had individual abilities, individual talents, individual opportunities to use their time, their talent, and their treasure for God. And for each of us, there are times when praying can relieve stress and times when it focuses our minds and helps us to concentrate on things that we need to do next. When our prayers are changed, it's a task switching moment. We were praying, but now we're going and serving. That's what happens. It's when we hear a friend that asks us to pray for them for a particular need that they have, and we say, sure, we'll pray. And then while we're praying, we say, wait a second, I can help them. I can do something for them. That's praying and serving. We're going to talk about praying and serving, as I said, on Sunday, February 14th. That's Valentine's Day. We've got a fun way to just kind of begin that whole thought process, but you don't have to wait for a couple of weeks. You can begin now to pray and ask God, God, how can I serve? God, what can I do? What do you know about me that you can use me, you can work through me to help someone else, to serve you, God? You can do that just now. So that's praying and fasting next week, praying and serving on the 14th. And then on the 21st, we're going to be talking about praying and waiting. Psalm chapter 5 says this, "Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly." This Sunday, this topic, quite possibly may be the most powerful one we have in this entire series. Waiting is not a part of our cultural DNA. It is a challenge for every one of us. We are too often bowing at the altar of the God of fast. And when we do that, we never walk away encouraged. At best, we walk away with the feeling that somehow we've accomplished something. And that is it. That kind of worship rarely gives you and me anything that lasts. FOMO, which is an acronym for fear of missing out, is a real issue for a lot of believers. So many are distracted and lured by the instant, by what is immediate and frustrated by having to wait, we settle almost always for what is average rather than wait for what is best. I read a quick line from 20 years ago, an article in about online things. It said that if a website didn't open up in 8 seconds, that website was likely to lose more than one-third of its visitors. We won't wait for 8 seconds for an answer. What is it about you and me that we are in a hurry to get nothing? The ability to wait, the ability to be quiet and silent and wait for God, to do what God will do, has blessings that you and I can barely comprehend. But once we get them, once we see them, we will wait forever to get them again. Mother Teresa said this: "We must all take time to be silent and to contemplate, especially those who live in big cities like London or New York, where everything moves so fast. I always like to begin my prayer in silence, for it is the silence of the heart of God that speaks. God is the friend of silence. We need to listen to God because it's not what we say, but what He says to us and through us that matters. Prayer feeds the soul. As blood is to the body, prayer is to the soul. And it brings you closer to God. It also gives you a clean and pure heart. A clean heart can see God, can speak to God, and can see the love of God in others." The first time I read that, I wanted to just sit and be quiet all day long. I wanted my heart to be pure and clean. I wanted to see God. I wanted to hear God. I'm willing to wait for that. We're going to talk about those things on that Sunday we focus on prayer, praying, and waiting. And lastly, on the final Sunday of February, it's going to be a good day. We're going to talk about praying and praising. Acts 16 says this: "Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening." This is such a weird story. It's one of those weird combinations of strange and normal. Strange in that guys are doing things that you wouldn't expect them to do. Normal in that this is the normal activity for a lot of people who follow Jesus. It's an interesting story and maybe even annoying to many. It's about two guys who are doing things for God and yet end up in prison because they were doing things for God. They have every reason to complain, every reason to be angry at God, to ask God, "Why me?" But that's not what they're doing. Instead of complaining, they're singing. Instead of whining, they're praying to God. And everybody can hear them. They are singing so loud that their voices bounce off the walls of all the prison cells. This isn't only the story about believers singing to God when everyone else should be shaking in fear. This is a story about what God does when people are praying and praising Him. I'm looking forward to a really fun day that last Sunday in February when we talk about praying and praising. As I said before, we're doing this so that we can increase our ability to multitask, to task switch between doing something that God wants us to do and doing something else that God wants us to do. We want to do more of the things that He wants us to do because we need His help. We need to pray and fast, pray and serve, pray and wait, and pray and praise, and then watch what God does, because we who are doing our best to be good people, we who are doing our best to follow Jesus and be righteous, want to see God move. We want to see God do great things, because we've tried everything that we can try. We've done everything that we can do, and we're still waiting. So it's time to be praying and. God, thank you so much for giving us even this ability, this opportunity to pray to you, to thank you. God, I pray for these messages. I pray for the things that you're going to say through myself and through Trey. God, help us to speak your words. God, we want your words to move us. We want your words to impact us and to change us, to make us more like Jesus so that we can do more of the things that Jesus did. God, help us to be praying and fasting, praying and serving, praying and waiting, praying and praising. And when it's all said and done, when we've learned all that we can learn, we're still going to honor you. Because you, God, are worthy of everything that we can do. Bless us. We pray this in Jesus' name.